The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live back inside the Beltway. So glad to be back inside. You know, September is the most wonderful month in the Beltway. October and November along with them. I particularly like October because the Supreme Court comes back to town and they gear up and they start letting geeks like me listen to oral arguments that they make there. Hey, that reminds me, Alliance Defending Freedom is a great sponsor of this show and has been for years. I've often done their conferences. I've taught the Blackstone Fellows for probably 15 years now, and I lead their annual media seminar track trying to explain the law to journalists because I'm one of the few law professors who is a journalist. And Alliance Defending Freedom runs their campaign in October asking people across the country to sign up to defend religious liberty. So since it's Monday, if you went to church Sunday, and I don't care which church you went to, what denomination it is, you don't even have to go to any church at all because they defend atheists all the time. Or if you have a son or daughter, grandson or granddaughter, going this morning to a Christian school anywhere in the United States, would you go over to HughHewitt.com and hit the Alliance Defending Freedom button at the top? It might just say Alliance Defends. You have to let it load a little bit. And make a contribution to defend your religious liberty. They are, I believe, 14 out of 15. They've won 14 out of the 15 challenges in which they've been lead counsel at the Supreme Court. I'll talk to John Birch later, their head of appellate advocacy, and double-check my number. I believe they're the most effective legal defense firm in the United States. They are the opposite of the ACLU. They defend your religious liberty. And once a year, I ask you, one check. Now, some of you decide, I'm making that my ministry. You know, we got five fingers for a reason. First finger, remind you to give to your church. Second finger, to a parachurch group, right? The Alliance Defending Freedom qualifies, Young Life qualifies, but a parachurch group. Third one, someone who helped contribute to your education. In my case, it's John F. Kennedy High School, Warren, Ohio. Fourth one, another educational institution doing great work. It can be A scholarships, it can be Hillsdale College. And then finally, a military group. Someone supporting the vets and their families or the families of the fallen. Speaking of which, I was at a John Androsic concert last night. I'll do the rundown here shortly. Five for Fighting is back on the road. I'm a little bit weary in the voice because I stayed up way too late talking to way too many people that were at John's concert in the Birchmere, Alexandria, Virginia. He's playing tonight in Annapolis, by the way, if you're driving home. The Rams head on stage in Annapolis. Great tour. He tours with his string quartet. It's a beautiful concert. He finished with Blood on My Hands, which divided the room. I mean, nobody laughed or anything like that, but only half of us stood up and applauded it. And it's an interesting thing, given the headlines today out of Afghanistan. They've hung four bodies in the city of Herat on construction cranes, because that's the Taliban. They're back. We did that. 28 days ago, we bugged out. 28 days ago, we condemned that country to these people, and they're hanging bodies from cranes in Herat. They're also told all the barbers of Kabul, no more cutting hair, no more cutting beards. So everyone's going to have the Taliban look again in Afghanistan shortly. So we did that. That's on us. It's on Joe Biden. And they're going to make it worse. But I bring up the Alliance Defending Freedom early because the big story of this week in Washington is Nancy Pelosi is trying to spend not only your money and your kids' money, she's trying to spend your grandchildren's money and your great-grandchildren's money, $3.5 trillion. And she intimated she'd settle for $2.5 trillion or $2 trillion over there. We haven't got it. It's going to be the most inflationary, destructive expansion of the welfare state, destroying incentives to work, destroying family structures. She is on a rampage because she's a lame duck. She's out of here. And she wants a big going away party with your money. She just wants a big, boy, didn't she get something big done. Same thing as Joe Biden. These legacy hunters are destroying our legacy to our kids by eating up. You know, one thing they're doing is raising stepped up bases, erasing stepped up bases. So if you saved your whole life and you paid off your house, and you happen to live in New York or California or Florida or someplace where houses are appreciated, you did it the old fashioned way. You paid off your student loans, you bought a house, you paid it off. It's appreciated in value. You've saved money in your 401k. Nancy Pelosi wants to take your money and end the long relied upon rule that when you die, your house goes to your kids and they can sell it tax-free. That rule's going away. It's called stepped-up basis. Same with a small business. They want to rewrite the tax codes of the United States in the dark, in a committee that you have no idea about, run by an old acquaintance of mine, Jim McGovern, the most liberal, effective member of the House. He'll probably be the speaker, I think. He'll jump Hoyer, become the speaker. And that's unless Kevin McCarthy wins, and we should win. But that's the big story of the week. In the rundown this morning, first of all, changing recommendations for boosters lead to confusion for vaccinated and their doctors. You think? Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I got boosted up on Friday. No side effects, just additional protection from COVID. I put a note of that on Twitter on Friday. Booster today, FMH2, zero side effects, be smart. Get the third shot when you're eligible. Stay healthy and happy, and CDC keep expanding eligibility. 1,100 people felt obliged to like that. 230 people felt obliged to comment on it. 111 people retweeted with or without comment. I'm astonished that that's newsy. I just thought it was kind of fun that I was eligible. The last time the vaccine came out, I was on the wrong side of 65. Now I'm 65, so I get the booster on the first day. And a bunch of people told me I was risking my life and part of a conspiracy. Look, you can be crazy all you want on the conspiracy stuff. The boosters are good science. My PhD toxicologist brother urged me to get it first day possible. I did. I urge you to go out and get it first day. If you've got an underlying condition, you're under 65, go in to see the pharmacist. Tell them I've got asthma and I want my booster, and they'll give it to you. It's a Pfizer booster. You can't get a Moderna booster yet because the FDA is still screwed up and the CDC is screwed up. Go get boosted. Go get vaccinated. Sister-in-law lost another friend, went to another funeral this weekend from a perfectly healthy 60-year-old person who got COVID and died. The NBA's anti-vaxxers are a problem, by the way. Do you know this story? More delicate story because it involves the highest paid athletes in America, and they are anti-vaxxers. Kyrie Irving, Mr. Flat Earth, who left Cleveland in an assured title. I'm not bitter because LeBron was too big of a presence. He couldn't get his ink. He is leading the anti-vaxxer brigade among the NBAs. They're conspiracy-minded. And people are, you know, the NBA is very popular, so people are delicately not criticizing Kyrie Irving and the other. Let's just be frankly, they're not going to win the spelling bee. Telling people not to get, you want to know why you have a problem in some segments of the sporting world where the NBA matters? Because their biggest stars are saying don't get vaccinated online. Crazy stuff. Okay, Congress heads into a tumultuous week, pressured by converging deadlines. For Schumer and Pelosi, that's the Post, for the New York Times. For Schumer and Pelosi, the challenge of a career with no margin for error. That's this week. How do we spend $3.5 trillion we don't have that doesn't belong to us? Democrats outside D.C. worry party will blow its chance of enacting historic agenda. A failure with political consequences. They're taking your money, your kids' money, your grandchildren's money. Call them up and tell them to stop. Threaten the Democrats that you will toss them out. There are about 10 moderate Democrats. Kill this thing. Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin are the thin line saving this country from wild inflation. Cargo piles up as California ports jostle over how to resolve delays. Democrats can't run ports. Sows and flee raging California fire, a new fire, the Fawn fire, as woman arrested with a lighter in her pocket. She is the physical and guilty equivalent of what Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are going to do to inflation, put it on fire. I already told you, Taliban hang body in public. Killers of Islamic State militants highlight power struggle with an Afghanistan Taliban. They're sending assassins across the country. And the centrists in Germany, led by Merkel, lost yesterday. So Germany's going to go left. Not that it matters much to us. They're not really much of the defense of the West anymore. China is headed towards a major economic shakedown. The good news, Israeli Prime Minister Bennett praising the UAE and Bahrain in the UN during UN week. Don't go anywhere, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. That's the rundown.
Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show. At the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin Resveratrol Omega, temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains, temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains, and you can't do better than that three-week starter pack, $19.95.
Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for listening. Joined by America's columnist, Selena Zito, with the Yinzer Report out of Pittsburgh. Good morning, Selena. The Steelers lost again. Sorry, friend. It's going to be that way week after week after week.
I keep telling you I don't watch them.
I know. I wouldn't watch them either. My gosh, Ben belongs in a museum somewhere. Hey, look, I want to talk about, well, you have two great columns this week. One on Adam Laxalt. We can talk about Adam's campaign often. You're right. He fuses the party. It's a national race. Nevada is everything. It's the 51st vote. But earlier in the week, probably 5 days ago, you wrote, Americans have not forgotten the 13 soldiers. What you mean, of course, your headline writer got it wrong. It's 11 Marines, one Navy corpsman, one soldier killed in the Afghanistan suicide bombing. Last night, John Andrzejczyk at 5 for Fighting Concert talked about them repeatedly, played Blood on My Hands, also played a couple of soldier songs, All for One. Really, Americans have not forgotten any of those who have died or been wounded in this war, but the national news media has.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what's really stunning is immediately when this happened, you started seeing these table settings, right, at bars, at pubs, at restaurants, where there would be a table set for the 13 men and women who lost their lives in Afghanistan. And then you would see the 13 beers. And then you would see in, like, white tablecloth restaurants, 13 glasses of wine. And it went even further, and it hasn't stopped. I see it around where I live, where people have 13 chairs in their yard with 13 flags sitting beside it. And people are showing it in all kinds of different ways, and it hasn't gone away. And what I think the national media is missing and what this administration is missing is this moment has left an imprint on the American psyche. People have really sort of paused and thought about Afghanistan and thought about how we left and have not let go of that. And I think the important distinction is it's not because they didn't want people to leave or they wanted the war to still go on. It's not about that at all. It's about how we've left. The argument isn't in the disappointment and the sadness and the sort of imprint in their brain is about how we left. And it's not going away.
Now, for 7 months from his inauguration until August 30th, Joe Biden was in complete control of a process that could have brought out tens of thousands of SIV eligible. He could have brought out every single endangered LPR American citizen. Instead, he settled on an arbitrary date driven by a political deadline, and he forced our people into a panicked withdrawal over the objections of his generals. Now, it is unfortunate that Secretary Austin did not say anything publicly when he declared an extraordinary victory, but the 13 lost lives is symbolic of a lost mission, not one without value. For 20 years, they had freedom. For 20 years, women were educated. For 20 years, some got out. Not without value, but ultimately a failure because of Joe Biden's exit.
Yes, absolutely. And there are still American citizens, SIV holders, green card holders, that are over there. And the heroic efforts of the people trying to get them out, private citizens, most of them are veterans, you know, well-pocketed veterans who are funding this, that are getting people out. And it's just a remarkable moment in our history that I think that while the press is not doing a great job chronicling it, the American people have not forgotten it.
Now, last night, in fact, at the Five for Fighting concert in Alexandria, Virginia, at the Birchmere, John Andrzejczyk talked about the fact that an Underground Railroad is now running. Unfortunately, yes. They lose as many as they get out. A number of missions, the Taliban finds people and they execute them in the houses. So the Underground Railroad that is operating through the skeletal remains of an NGO system and American vets and moneyed people is getting people out. And it's very difficult to cover. You can't cover because you don't want to endanger anyone. But it's going on, Selena.
Yes, absolutely. I have been in contact with people, and you're right. You can't cover it in the way that you should or should be able to. But if you do, people die. People get hurt.
But the one thing that comes through, the United States Department of State is not helping. They've just washed their hands of it. It's not a Pentagon mission anymore. It's a State Department mission, and they're just incompetent to do it. They don't want to do it. Tony Blinken has said, turn your back. Let's get back to climate change. Wendy Sherman is over begging the Iranians for a deal. John Kerry's trotting around the world. And they cannot be bothered with American citizens and LPRs at risk of death and execution in Afghanistan. It's shameful.
It is absolutely shameful. And they are not only not doing anything, they are serving as a roadblock in many instances in a way that is incredibly shameful.
The stories will come out. Selena knows them. I know them. John Andrzejczyk knows them. People in the Pineapple Express know them. We're not talking about them, but we will eventually tell you about them. And it's not, well, Joe Biden's simply not there, just checked out. We don't ever check out. Selena Zito always checks in on Monday. Thank you, Selena. Go to selenazito.com for her wonderful story, Americans Have Not Forgotten the 13 Military. And I'll be right back on The Hugh Hewitt Show. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172.
Well, Chuck Schumer and I and Secretary Yellen the other day came forward in the president and said that we had reached a framework of agreement. People said, well, what are the specifics? Well, we'll see what we need. We'll see how the number comes down and what we need in that regard. But we have agreed on an array of pay fors in the legislation. This will be paid for. So when some say, oh, well, what about inflation? It will be paid for. And that's the beauty of it, by having those in our economy and society who have not paid their fair share, paying their fair share. So again, the Senate and the House, those who are not in full agreement with the president's rate, let's see what our value, let's not talk about numbers and dollars, let's talk about values.
Morning glory, America. Let's not talk about numbers, let's talk about values, because boy, it's going to be quite the debate. Jake Sherman joins me, Hugh Hewitt, inside the Beltway. Punchbowl News reporting on the intricacies of the dilemma facing Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. How much of other people's money to spend and who to give it to? Good morning, Jake. How are you?
Good morning, Hugh. How are you?
Good. How about that line? Let's not talk about dollars, let's talk about values. That's a great way to avoid talking about the problems in her caucus.
Well, you know, I'll say this in defense of her. I'm not defending her, but just actually let me provide some context. We know the ceiling here, which is $3.5 trillion. What she's saying is, let's have a discussion. I'm not defending her, just trying to put some context around this. She's saying, let's have a discussion on the policies, and then we'll see in what window that will fall. Fair enough. But I mean, listen, I think the problem is that Pelosi's not in the driver's seat here completely. She's in the driver's seat to a large degree. But in the co-pilot seat is Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema and the Democratic moderates, the House Democratic moderates, who are not agreeing to a $3.5 trillion bill. So you need to talk about the top line, because the top line is what matters to some people. You know, and she says it's all paid for. Yes, it is paid for by tax increases on a whole host of individuals and things of that nature. But she can't decide individually to not talk about the numbers. That's something that all Democrats have to agree on. I mean, they don't even have to agree on it, but they need a top line number. People are curious what that's going to be, because Hugh, as you know, people are going to go home and campaign in 2022. Republicans are, and they're going to say they spent $3.5 trillion, or they spent $2.5 trillion, whatever it ends up being. So people are curious, rightfully so, what that number will be.
Yeah, they've already spent $2 trillion this year. So let's get it. Let's make sure our baseline is already $2 trillion under Joe Biden. President Obama's much vaunted super stimulus after the 2008 financial collapse was $850 billion. So the multiple that we will get, whether it's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, will stun and destroy the Democratic Party in 2022. That's my prediction based upon off years for many, many years. And that's why they're shy about this, Democratic moderates. I am curious, Jake, this gets into the interstices of the deal. The New York Times has reported Senator Sinema has told her caucus no corporate or personal income tax hikes. I believe that leaves her open to increasing or eliminating stepped-up bases or minimizing stepped-up bases. Stepped-up basis is actually the ticking time bomb for the Democrats, as it will destroy their hold in Orange County, California, in New York City, in Florida, anywhere where home prices appreciated, Virginia, Maryland, wherever home prices appreciated. If they do away with or limit stepped-up basis, they're going to lose voters. What do you understand about the approach to stepped up basis? The House ruled it out, and apparently Ron Wyden is in love with it.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be in. I also don't agree with the New York Times reporting there. We heard that a couple weeks ago. I don't know who we heard it from, nor would I say, but I don't think it was somebody with a motivation. And we went to them, to Sinema's people, and they said, no, that's not her position. That's never been her position. So let's just level set here. If that is true, that is a massive story, not something that, you know, is mentioned offhand. That's a massive story. And it would also doom this bill. You cannot spend $3 trillion paid for without raising taxes. It's just you can't do it.
Even if they raise all the taxes, they won't pay for it. The original budget resolution allowed for $1.5 trillion spending in excess of tax increases. So
agreed.
Their ceiling is whatever the revenue that comes in from tax increases plus $1.5 trillion is their top line ceiling.
Correct. And also, you mentioned the bank bailout of or the stimulus. I think you were talking about the stimulus, but
yes.
A lot of that was much maligned, politically tough, and you know the thing I keep coming back to, Hugh, is the bank bailouts, which were mostly paid back at the end of the day by the banks, by the institutions once they got healthy, that was a lot of money, but it was all paid back. So that just gives the magnitude of what this legislation is. I don't believe that from Sinema. I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe stepped-up basis will be in the bill. I think that's going to – I mean, if you look at someone like Josh Gottheimer, who represents the wealthy suburbs of New Jersey, what is he going to do? Get rid of the state and local tax deduction on one end and then – do stepped up basis, which is going to, I think it was left out of the House for a reason. I don't think it's going to pass. I don't think it's time to add things back in. And if you listen carefully, the menu of revenue raisers that they've chosen, according to Pelosi and Schumer, are things that the House and Senate agree on, and they don't agree on stepped up basis.
You know, I've got a sponsor, Jake, the Job Creators Network, and this has been the greatest gift to the Job Creators Network. They're on a bus tour, jcnbustour.com, because small businesses across the United States are signing up for, I think it's now the new Federation of Small Businesses, and jcnbustour.com if people want to go to it. They're signing up small businesses everywhere because Stepped Up Basis also targets any car wash, any restaurant, any family store or business that descends to the children, not only houses and not only second homes, but businesses. And Tom Cotton tells me small lumber people in Arkansas, they dominated an entire meeting about this. Democrats really don't know when they step on tax landmines. I think they're almost oblivious to it. You mentioned one member who gets it. How many members get it, what they're about to do to their political futures?
I think if they do that, I think they real. I just don't think it's going to happen. But they do say that, and I think this is true. I mean, you're hearing a lot about, or a lot of Republicans talk about the spending side instead of the tax side, because Republicans believe, I mean, they say it, that corporate tax increases and individual tax increases, the marginal rate increase on the high end, is actually pretty popular. And they don't think it's a winning argument at this point. It could turn into a winning argument, but they think the spending is the winning argument, the out of control, in their estimation. I'm quoting them, not saying it myself, the out of control spending. That's what they say.
Well, I agree with them. I think a 39.5% top rate is eminently reasonable. People can disagree. You want to raise the business capital gains, the corporate tax to 25%. I don't think it's smart, but it's not the end of the world. The end of the world is an inflationary cycle kicked off by another $1.5 trillion unpaid for dollars. So I really think it's the unpaid for $1.5 trillion that is the problem here. And Nancy Pelosi is simply not telling the truth. I won't say lying because that requires mens rea. But she's not telling the truth, Jake, when she says, let's not talk, everything will be paid for. Catherine Rampell, my colleague at the Washington Post, said that on MSNBC, everything will be paid for. It's absurd. Of course it's not paid for, is it?
Well, it's not completely paid for. Let me take that back. It's not. It depends how you calculate it. It really depends how you look at it and how you calculate it. The offsets for the tax raising offsets don't completely match the spending. So, I mean, that's an objective point of view.
Yes, not by $1.5 trillion. That's what the budget resolution said. Jake, I got a quick technical. Go ahead.
I just want to say we don't know what the spending level is going to be yet. It could be just a trillion. I mean, it could be $1.5 trillion. We don't know. We just don't know.
The max it can be. You're right. The maximum it can be is $1.5 trillion deficit. Will they get any Republican vote for the CR, whether or not they put Iron Dome into it? I don't think so. Will they get any Republican vote for the debt ceiling? I don't think so. Will they have to amend the budget resolution? I think so. But what does Jake Sherman and Punchbowl News think?
They will get Republican votes for the CR. They absolutely will. I think it'll pass overwhelmingly.
A clean CR.
A clean CR. Correct.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Not one
with the debt limit.
They will not get any votes for the debt limit, I don't think, as a standalone. And yes, I think they're going to have to amend the budget resolution, and they need to get on that because there's no other way at this point, unless they're going to do something that we don't understand at this point.
And so they really have flubbed the summer. And now the Afghanistan collapse did obscure everything, but they flubbed their time in the summer to hammer this out. So now they're going to rush through it in a week, Jake?
Yeah, this what we said in Punchbowl News this morning is this would be a big legislative agenda for a year, and they're going to try to do it in a week. I don't think they're going to get it done this week. Neither did most of the negotiators, most of the people involved, and people in the leadership. They'll get debt, they'll get CR done this week, and they'll get infrastructure done this week. I don't think they'll get reconciliation done.
Jake Sherman always has his finger on the pulse. You should be getting PunchbowlNews.com every morning. It's free. Be smart. Go sign up for it, PunchbowlNews.com. I'll be right back. Thank you, Jake, on the Hugh Hewitt. Hugh Hewitt here. If you listen to my show for a while, you know I love meat. You know that. I love going to restaurants. I love a great steak. Well, I don't have to go anymore because of Moink Box. MOINK Box.com. You know what's in the Moink Box? That's right. Great steak, great bacon. Here's why I love it. It's grown by an 8th-generation farmer who makes sure all of his experience goes into every single box. The very best steak, the very best bacon, the very best chicken and best salmon you'll ever eat. Not from a grocery store. You'll only find it from the family farm and caught by independent Alaska fishermen. That's why you need to try MoinkBox.com. Join the Moink movement today. Go to MoinkBox.com/Hewitt right now, and listeners of this show get free bacon for a year. That's 1 year of the best bacon you'll ever taste, but for a limited time for that offer. MoinkBox.com/Hewitt. That's MoinkBox.com/Hewitt. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you found yourself completely befuddled by events in Afghanistan, alarmed about inflation and otherwise uneasy, well, about everything, about Americans standing in the world, about what comes next, then you're feeling like everybody else is, and uncertainty is usually a time that you want to increase your holdings in gold. When I do that, I do it with Birch Gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. They will send you free information. If you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k into physical precious metals, Birch Gold is who to do that with. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless 5-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. If you're thinking, I got to get some gold, do it with Birch Gold via HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's Hugh to 474747 or HughGold.com.
Got blood on my hands, and I don't understand what's happening.
Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. That's Five for Fighting Blood on My Hands. Great performance by John Andruzic at the Birchmere last night, and he's going up to Annapolis to the Ram's Head tonight. I believe it's called the Ram's Head. Josh Krasauer of Hotline Josh fame on Twitter, the National Journal's own Josh, joins me. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
Good. Good morning, Hugh.
I don't understand what Democrats think they're doing. It's like the San Francisco Democrats and the New York City Democrats have gotten together in the forms of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and agreed to destroy the party. When they're done this week and next, I believe they will have set up an epic wipeout in 2022. What do you think?
What I don't get, and I wrote about this in my column last week, is why President Biden isn't engaging more on the side of the moderates. Because the only politically palatable way there's going to be any reconciliation and any spending on the social spending side along with the infrastructure is if the progressives take a half loaf, if they lower their ambitions, if they work with the moderates to get the infrastructure bill passed and see if they can get 50 votes in the Senate, see if they can get a majority in the House later on for the bigger spending bill. But Biden is holding his own bill that has already passed the Senate on a bipartisan basis essentially hostage, and he needs a political victory badly. It doesn't matter what the progressives want. He needs to use the political capital, what's left of it at least, to try to get these progressives in line, enough of them at least, in line with his own initiative. And I'm surprised it was reported in Politico this morning that he's leaning towards siding with the progressives on going to shoot the moon and trying to go for the big spending. So, you know, look, the risk of that is that this could all blow up if there's not enough compromise made. And I think the burden is on the progressive Democrats in the House, then he could lose everything. And that would be a very ugly political outcome.
Now, I do not believe there's much of a chance of the Democrats falling apart completely. I think they'll pass something, and I'm expecting $2.5 trillion is kind of the budget resolution authorized $1.5 trillion in deficit spending. So they don't even have to raise any taxes; they can just print money for $1.5 trillion plus, and that's the infrastructure. They'll get some. They'll raise the highest marginal tax rate to 39.6. They'll raise corporate taxes. They'll get some money to spend. I just can't imagine them blowing it all up. That, nevertheless, will be more money in 1 year than we've ever spent in Red Ink, including the World War II years. And inflation isn't an imaginary thing, Josh. The Democrats are actually, they're stunning in their obliviousness to what is happening to the average American.
Yeah, I mean, I think not just the spending, but just reorienting the approach of government towards kind of letting government be a backstop versus, you know, the frontline defense on childcare, on community college, on everything. It would reorient the American economy in a much, you know, much different and much more progressive way. I actually am surprised to you that there hasn't been as much Republican mobilization against the proposed legislation. You don't see the town hall meetings where you have conservatives yelling at lawmakers, Democratic lawmakers. You don't have the grassroots organizations popping up, the Tea Party groups like we saw in 2009, for a much higher number of spending, as you rightly note. I mean, that's what Democrats are sort of betting on, that even though this is a big price tag, that there won't be as much opposition because ultimately President Trump spent a whole lot of money, and ultimately the Republican Party has been reoriented on more sort of cultural opposition towards liberal issues rather than the classic economic conservatism that so many Republican politicians have run on.
Well, to respond, I think inflation will bring the fiscally sane back to the fold in a large way. But more importantly, I think the Afghanistan debacle just stunned the country. And you didn't have a Tea Party August like you did in 2009 because I just believe we're traumatized. We've never lost a war so spectacularly. We've never bugged out on American citizens and LPRs. And Joe Biden won't talk about it. The Sunday shows won't talk about it. But Americans are talking about it. I talk about it with Selena Zito to this day. I heard it last night at the concert, Five for Fighting concert. People talk. It's an embarrassment. It's a disgrace, Josh. And Americans are seared by it.
Yeah, I share your concerns. I also think it was more for a political perspective. It was sort of the gateway to understanding that this administration may not be as competent and as advertised, maybe not be as compassionate as advertised with how they've handled the situation. And also, their sort of detachment from the Americans and green card holders still left behind that have been sort of ignored in the last week or two. So, yeah, I mean, that I think Afghanistan opened up a window to a lot of the problems that were going on internally in the Biden White House, and that's a scar that's not going to go away either.
You know, you cannot notice the president not talking to people for a long time unless there's a crisis. And when there's a crisis, you definitely notice that the president is not talking to people. Ross Douthat wrote about this. Last question, Josh. Do you think he's actively engaged in the presidency, or is, in effect, the Oval Office vacant?
I mean, he's engaged. I mean, he had media. I mean, it depends on what you mean by engaged. Anyone who's 79 years old isn't going to have the same energy as they had in their 60s when Biden was vice president. That's inevitable. He's engaged in the fact that he is holding meetings. He's doing this, you know, he's giving the occasional address. But you can tell that he's not as vigorously engaged as other past presidents. He's not spending his political capital, and he's afraid to challenge, use the political capital to take on the left of the party. That's helped.
I think he's exhausted. I think he's exhausted, and how that plays out this week, we'll find out. Josh Kroshauer, follow him at Hotline Josh on Twitter. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Generalissimo. I'll be back tomorrow on the next Live Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hear the latest reporting and analysis on the big stories of the day on the Daybreak Insider podcast. It's top-notch reporting from SRN News, along with the sharpest insight from Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, and the voices of townhall.com. The Daybreak Insider podcast. It's your first look at today's top stories. Available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and at salempodcastnetwork.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.